your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Kia ora, Josh. How are you?
Kia ora, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining me for Spaced Out yet again.
Always a pleasure.
We've got some exciting things to talk about. Lots happening in space, as per usual. This first one, tell me about what Voyager 2 is and what's happening with it.
Yes, first story of the week is the NASA. They've turned off an instrument above on one of their spacecraft, which is called Voyager 2. Voyager 2, along with another one called Voyager 1, basically they're the most distant probes that we've ever launched from Earth that are still working today. They were launched back in 1977, so that's close to 50 years ago, and they're still working. They're still gathering data. They're still exploring interstellar space, so they're actually leaving the solar system.
Wow.
But the power is basically dwindling. The batteries are getting low, so NASA's had to shut off another instrument on Voyager 2, which is a bit of a shame, but they kind of have to do it just to conserve the last bits of energy that it has.
So what sort of difference will it make now that we've shut off this instrument?
Yeah, so the instrument that they shot off was a plasma instrument. So basically it measures plasma from the sun. And one of the discoveries that, you know, the Voyager missions made was essentially where the solar system ends, because the sun and the plasma and the particles that's producing, it kind of creates like a bubble within our solar system where that solar wind basically stops. And then once you pass that, you're in interstellar space. And the Voyagers found out where that barrier was, and they passed that back in 2012, about 10 years ago. So that's been, you know, a massive breakthrough for our understanding of the interaction of the sun and interstellar space. But because we're now out of the solar system, they've shut the plasma instrument down. So it just means we've got less science and less data coming back from those missions. And we're now down to just 3 instruments of the initial 10 when they launched.
And so at what point will we kind of decide it's time to send new probes into space?
It's really difficult on NASA's budget, essentially. I mean, we've got the Voyagers. We also have New Horizons, which is another probe, which is entering essentially the same region. But that's kind of it. I mean, at the moment, there are no plans for NASA to send any new spacecraft so far out. And you've also got to remember that these probes have been going for almost 50 years. So, you know, even if we, you know, got the budget and NASA said, hey, we're going to build a new, like, interstellar probe, you know, it could take 5-10 years to build, and then it would take another 50 years just to reach where the Voyagers are today. So that, you know, these missions are really important, because it takes just such a long time to get where they are because of, you know, the physical distance. So, I think it will be a long time until we see, you know, such distant active probes in out of our solar system.
Right. And so because Voyager 2 is so far away, when it eventually dies or runs out of power, will it just kind of stay there as space junk?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially just wandering through the galaxy. I mean, once it shuts off, it's going to continue moving through the galaxy. Nothing's going to stop it.
Wow.
And, you know, you could also, you know, imagine that there would be a civilization one day that maybe finds Voyager, you know, and picks it up and goes, what is this strange relic?
Like,
I think it's quite
fossil.
Cool to think about. Yeah, exactly. It's like a, you know, remnant of humans one day, potentially. It's kind of cool.
Wow, okay. And then, I guess on the kind of other end of the life cycle of a probe, we've got SpaceX is launching a new planetary defense probe.
Yeah, it was the European Space Agency. They launched a probe called HERA yesterday. So I'm not sure if you remember, but back in 2022, NASA, they basically smashed into an asteroid with a spacecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Made a big explosion, and they were able to actually alter the orbit of that little asteroid, and it was a test of planetary defense. And it was a big, really big success, but the problem with that mission was obviously the spacecraft itself was destroyed. So our, you know, measurements of that impact and the effects that it had, they were made from Earth, which, you know, still quite far away from that asteroid. But this probe called HERA, which launched yesterday, is a reconnaissance mission. So we're now sending another probe to actually go to that asteroid to take images and to actually see the direct effects of that collision to kind of help us understand if, you know, if this is a really viable method of planetary defense, which is pretty cool.
Wow. Wait, so this might be a stupid question, but how do we know where that asteroid exactly is now?
It's not too far from the Earth. It lies in the asteroid belt, so it's, right. it's a pretty well known and understood asteroid. We know the orbits and the trajectory and all that stuff. We're basically, it's now going to take about 2 years to get there, so it's still kind of far away. But astronomically, it's pretty close, and that's why we kind of chose it as a target for this test mission. I think it's going to be really cool that once we do get these, images, once it gets there, we're going to see this, like, you know, giant man-made crater on an asteroid, which is just, like, really sci-fi to think about.
Mm, some good space images coming in soon. Well, in 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah, 2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Some local-related space news. This is really exciting. I feel like we don't see Aotearoa appearing super often in exciting space news. Tell me about Rocket Lab.
Yeah, so this was a story that just came out this morning, but basically Rocket Lab, who they're based here in New Zealand and they launch out of New Zealand, they have been given a investigation contract from NASA, and NASA's basically asked Rocket Lab to investigate if they could potentially bring Mars samples from Mars back to Earth as a part of their Mars sample return missions, which is a major, major mission that NASA's been wanting to do for several years. If Rocket Lab gets this contract, and if they say, all right, well, we want to choose and we want you to bring your samples back, that's a massive, massive mission that would be worth billions of dollars. And quite exciting to think that, you know, something built here in New Zealand could be sent to Mars and then back, which is pretty amazing.
Well, I haven't heard of Rocket Lab before. Have they been around a wee while?
Oh, they've been launching since, I think, 2016. So they launch their rockets down from the Mahia Peninsula on the East Coast. And they've launched, like, I think almost now 60 different missions. So they've done a lot of missions, and they're the second most frequent launcher after SpaceX, which is the biggest one in America.
Wow.
So it's a really big thing, and I think, you know, New Zealand's space industry is pretty major, but, you know, launching rockets is quite different to building a spacecraft that is made for space. Because you can kind of think of a rocket, it's like a space taxi, whereas the spacecraft itself is basically usually built by a space agency like NASA. So for NASA to ask Rocket Lab to actually build a spacecraft for them to go to Mars is really major, and I think it's a really good thing for NASA and Rocket Lab and New Zealand, essentially, to be working a lot closer in space.
Wow, that makes me feel so patriotic.
It's cool, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Elon Musk, we're coming for you.
No, exactly, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, that's a nice, wholesome note to end on in terms of space news. Thank you so much, Josh.
No problem at all.
We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Ka kite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.